20 minutes after 4 o'clock. Here on Downtown, your Monday show, Rich Kimble, Ryan Wehning, and Brian Stackpole. Super Bowl 50 in the books. Orange Crush here. Very nice, Stack. Thank you very much. Time to talk Super Bowl and more with our friend Mark Daniels from the Providence Journal, who joins us on the G&M Family Market phone line. Mark, good Monday afternoon.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Oh, doing well. Got through the game last night. We were talking about it earlier, and there seems to be a difference of opinion. Did you view this as a fun, interesting game to watch because of the defensive chess match, or was it just boring?
I enjoy defense. I would say I enjoy football as a whole. So, no, I thought it was a, I don't know if I would say it was the most entertaining game ever, but it certainly was fun to watch Denver's defensive effort from a standpoint of, oh, look at what they did to the Patriots, and now they're doing the same exact thing to the Carolina Panthers. So maybe Dave DeGuglielmo and all those Patriots offensive linemen weren't as bad as we thought, and the Denver Broncos were just really, really good. But no, at the end of the day, I enjoyed it. I thought it was nice to see Peyton Manning kind of ride off into the sunset, if that's what he does. And I don't know. I wouldn't say I hate Cam Newton, but seeing the way he played and then the way he acted, I don't know. It added to the entire element for me. It was an interesting Super Bowl, to say the least.
Yeah, I would agree with that. And as for Manning, I think you have to be so deep in the Patriots' Kool-Aid that you can't see the light of day to not at least respect what he's accomplished for his career. And to make this shift from being the guy who threw 55 touchdown passes 2 years ago to being a game manager in the biggest game of the season, and yet he accepted that and realized and seemed to know after the game that, look, it was the defense that took care of business and won this for us.
Right, right. I mean, Peyton Manning statistically was one of the worst quarterbacks in the NFL this year, but he's a future Hall of Famer. He's one of the best of all time. And, you know, and that's what the Broncos needed to win. They needed their defense to play like the top defensive unit in the NFL. And, you know, all season they did. And, you know, pretty amazing run for them, too, you know, to knock off the defending Super Bowl champions in the past. And then, you know, the Carolina Panthers were 15-1 going into this game. I mean, honestly, I thought the Panthers were going to roll over them. And I think a lot of people did, too. And, you know, it was a cool story, a cool game. You know, it's too bad football's over.
Do you think that the way that the Broncos exposed the Carolina Panthers offense, that this is the beginning of the end of the read option and the spread in the NFL?
I don't know about that. I don't know if it'll ever be the beginning of the end. I think we say that a lot. Maybe, but I think sometimes your offense is predicated on who you have a quarterback, you know, and the Panthers have a guy who's really athletic in Cam Newton, and he can run. You know, and from the looks of college football, I mean, I would almost imagine that, you know, I know people have been saying this for years now, but who knows if offensively teams go more that way just because that's the way people are playing more so in the NCAA. I mean, at some point you might have to start to tailor your team toward your, you know, your quarterback and your playmaker.
As you watched the play last night of Aqib Talib, but which side did you come down on going, wow, the Patriots sure could have used that guy, or he's a knucklehead who doesn't have a lot of self-control, and maybe they're better off without him?
I think it's a combination of both. I always enjoyed talking to Aqib Talib. The guy was hilarious. He's one of the best cornerbacks in the NFL. I thought his play last night was questionable. I mean, those two personal foul calls are pretty costly. You don't ever want to see that. I mean, I'd be surprised if he would have been able to act that way with the Patriots, just because I think when you're in Bill Belichick's system, you behave a little differently. I think, you know, with the Broncos, and let's be honest, with most teams in the NFL, you're going to have more leeway, you know, with your head coach than you will with Bill. But I don't know. I mean, at the end of the day, yeah, the Pats didn't sign him because he took more money, and I understand that. And, you know, they got Revis for a year, and then Malcolm Butler is a Pro Bowler. So I'm pretty happy with the Pats are at a cornerback. I wouldn't say I have any regrets. It's good to see Talib win in Denver, though.
Some of the guys that were going to be available after this game that are going into free agency, who got themselves paid with their performance last night?
Ooh, that's a great question. Von Miller. I mean, he deserves to be paid more than Ndamukong Suh. He should probably be the highest paid defensive player. You know, so I definitely think he got his money's worth. It's what, 5 sacks in 2 games?
Yep.
The guy's a beast. Pretty incredible. I mean, he should probably be getting paid, yeah, more than Sue, more than probably more than J.J. Watt, too, which is crazy to think that the Dolphins actually gave Sue more money. Yeah, that guy, he's gonna be able to afford whatever he wants after this offseason.
We're talking with Mark Daniels of the Providence Journal. Well, Patriots already making some news less than 24 hours later with the rumors swirling around. What's the latest you've heard on Dante Scarnecchia possibly coming out of retirement?
Yeah, pretty crazy story. It seems that the Patriots and Dante Scarnecchia have mutual interest of reuniting of sorts. I guess Scarnecchia is ready to come out of his two-year retirement and help coach the Patriots' offensive line again. Pretty nuts. I didn't expect that. I always thought that at the end of the day, the Pats would have been better off with Scarnecchia there at the helm. I mean, for 15 years, he was probably one of the best offensive line coaches in the NFL. And, I mean, he had the highest praise from Bill Belichick and all his players. And I think it was really tough. You know, I mean, Dave DeGuglielmo was a different guy, you know, a different type of coach, a different style. And I think there were some speed bumps there. And even this past year, I think we saw some regression in guys like Homer and Marcus Cannon. So I think the best way to right the ship right now for the short term is to bring Dante Scarnecchia back. And if this happens, it's excellent for the Pats. Now, also, though, I think you have to start looking at the future a little bit, too, with this and think about who's going to supplement him. I mean, this isn't going to be a long-term fix here, but this might give them a chance to, you know, start to develop a younger coach, a younger offensive line coach beneath them. And that's something the Pats have done for a long time. I mean, Guglielmo came from outside the organization. And that doesn't happen a lot with the Patriots. I mean, Josh McDaniels, Matt Patricia, those guys have been here since they were, you know, tiny coaching assistants who, you know, essentially, you know, watched film and got coffee for the other coaches. I mean, I think they need to do that again and bring Dante back and find your next line coach after that.
If he's coming back, do you think that might indicate at all that Bill Belichick has a timeline for the end of his tenure as head coach?
Well, that's a great question. I know Bill Belichick has always said he doesn't want to coach into his 70s. I mean, I don't know if Bill has a set timeline. Is it near? I don't know if it's near. I mean, it still seems like he's really passionate. You know, he's 63 years old. Would he do this for the next 7 years? I would hope so. You know, I think a bigger question is, would Bill Belichick stay with the Pats if hypothetically Tom Brady wasn't here? And I think Tom Brady's time in Foxborough will likely end before Belichick's. And
interesting.
I mean, it might not be soon. It might be within 5 years, but still, it'll be interesting to see what happens. But I don't think he's thinking about that quite yet.
What's their biggest off-season priority, Mark?
Yeah, that's a great question. Pats are in an interesting position. You know, they don't have a ton of money to spend right now. I don't think they have too many holes, but there are definitely some holes where they could beef up. And I think one of them is at running back. I'm not entirely sure LeGarrette Blount is the answer here. I'm a fan of LeGarrette Blount. I think he does what you kind of need him to do, but he's getting up there. He's starting to get around 30 years old. When running backs hit that age, it starts to go downhill. Now, they're set with their third down back situation. Deion Lewis is great. You have a fine backup in James White. I think you need that bigger back, though, that you can kind of complement, you know, Deion Lewis with. Blount was good, but, you know, who knows? Is it someone like Alfred Morris? You know, would they try to spend some money on a guy like Matt Forte, who can also catch the ball? But I also would be, you know, I would say in the draft, if they go out and get another running back, I wouldn't hate that. You know, they did that a few years back when they got Stephen Ridley and Shane Vereen, and maybe you know, kind of beef that position up again. I think the lack of depth there really hurts this team down the stretch. I'd love to see them get some wide receiver depth. I don't think you need to go out and get a number one, number two receiver, but I think you need more depth than you had. A guy like Mohamed Sanu, you know, who played at Rutgers and then with the Cincinnati Bengals for the past 4 years, he's definitely an option. And also at offensive tackle. I'm not entirely sure how much longer we'll see Sebastian Vollmer here. He enters 2016 in a contract year, and then your top backup, Marcus Cannon, hasn't played that well. I'd say if I'm the Pats, I'd be a little worried about that position going forward. You don't have much use. You know, they spent a fourth-round pick on Cameron Fleming. He hasn't really worked out well. So, you know, whether they get a veteran tackle, or maybe they should draft high and get a young tackle and find that next Vollmer, I think that might be the way to do it.
Mark Daniels, Providence Journal. Mark, we appreciate you being on with us all season long. Great stuff always, but of course, as we know with the Patriots, there really is never an off season. So I'm sure we'll be talking with you again before too long.
Right, I'm sure the Patriots, I won't take long to do something again. So.
Exactly. Thank you, Mark.
All right, thank you.
Mark Daniels, Providence Journal, talking Patriots on Downtown Patriots.